ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण। सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम नाइन्थ कैंटो चैप्टर नंबर 19 टेक्स्ट नंबर 4। तस्याउदाहरणोपायं बस्तः कामि विचिन्तयन् व्यधत्ततीर्थमुद्धृत्य विशानाग्रेण रोधसी। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। आफ्टर प्लानिंग हाउ टू गेट द शी गोट आउट ऑफ द वेल, द लस्टी ही गोट डग अप द अर्थ ऑन द वेल्स एज विद द पॉइंट ऑफ हिज हॉर्न्स इन सच अ वे दैट शी वॉज एबल टू कम आउट वेरी इजिली। पर्पोर्ट: Attraction for women is the impetus for economic development. Housing and many other things meant for living comfortably in this material world, digging up the earth to make a way out for the she-goat was a laborious task. But because accepting the she-goat, the he-goat underwent this labor. Aho griha kshetra sutapta vitter janasya mohoyam aham ameti. The union between male and female provides the impetus for gaining a nice apartment, a good income, children and friends. Thus, one becomes entangled in this material world. Translation: After planning how to get the she-goat out of the well, the lusty he-goat dug up the earth on the well's edge with the point of his horns in such a way that she was able to come out very easily. Hare Krishna. So this is the episode where King Yayati, as we know the story goes, that Yayati was married to Devyani, and subsequently, because he had an affair with Sharmishta, whom Devyani didn't like, he got the curse from Shukracharya that he should become old. He should lose his youth. And as a result, he suffered a lot. And he begs Shukracharya that I have not yet finished my enjoyment. You know, I'm married, just newly married. And so, and it is your daughter ultimately to whom I'm married. So I'm not going to, it's ultimately she's who's going to suffer. So you please do something about it. So Shukracharya gives him a boon, a blessing that you can enjoy again if you can get somebody to replace your old age with. So then he finds one of his sons, yeah, and with whom he exchanges his youth, and his old age, and he gets back his youth, and he again enjoys for many years, for many hundreds of years he's enjoying. And he's not satisfied after so many years of enjoying sex life, as it is explained here. His realization was that it is just not satisfying. It is just not satisfying. And he felt the need to progress towards spiritual life. So he wants to also educate his wife, good wife Devyani, into this knowledge of spiritual science. So he explains to his wife his own story, how his life came about by using examples like this, the goat and the she-goat. She-goat fell into the well, and he's explaining his own life story to Devyani so that she can also become detached from this mundane sex life, so that they can rise higher above all these mundane pleasures and take up to spiritual life. So, Hare Krishna. So today's topic is a little sensitive topic, series of topics which are going on like this, and I'm really a little embarrassed to speak on this topic. So I may speak something which may not be appropriate for this occasion, Bhagavatam class, but I will try my best to, you know, adjust. Please also tolerate me, because, you know, I was just reading one paragraph about how when Kamba, when he wrote Ramayana, he composed verses on the Ramayana, he was asked that why are you composing verses when Valmiki has already composed verses? So he says, look, I am like a small child. And you know, when a child speaks, sometimes, you know, they have these programs where they put these children to come and speak some verses, and you know, they speak some translations, and no matter how many mistakes they make, the audience will ultimately just clap and encourage them, is it not? So he's saying, a child when he speaks, no one looks for the faults. Similarly, a madman, he may speak, you know, rubbish, he may do something very stupid, and he may be roaming around in the streets, loitering around, calling ill names to people, but people don't take him very seriously. Is it not? So he's saying, I'm just like that. Like a child or like a madman, consider me like that. I'm trying to speak and I'm making an attempt to speak, trying to glorify Lord Ram. Yeah. So if you like it, okay. If you don't like it, Hare Krishna. So in similar lines, I would say that, you know, I'm making an attempt to speak on this topic. So please don't be offended, because it's not me. Ultimately, it's a Shastra. So attraction for women is impetus for economic development. So basically what is being dealt here is sex life, mundane sex life. I was hearing one sannyasi say, he labels it as the household bliss. The bliss, mundane bliss, which is available in the home is called as the household bliss. So just to make things a little softer, I will use this word household bliss instead of, you know. So here in this verse, we can see that when the she-goat was stuck in the well, the he-goat, seeing the she-goat, he fell in love with, you know, that she-goat, and he made an arrangement to take that she-goat out of the well. So what did he do with his horns? He dug another hole parallel to the well and goes down and to extricate the she-goat from the well. So obviously, digging a well is not an easy task. And the goat undertook such a laborious task. Why? Because he was attached to her. And in our classes, we have heard a similar example that in one country abroad, the women folk, they wanted, you know, they would go very far away to fetch water, you know, from a well. So somehow it was not very accessible, and they wanted their husbands to come together and make an arrangement close by of a well. So they told their husbands to please make an arrangement. So the husband said, who's going to dig a well and all that, you know. So they just didn't agree. They didn't take it seriously. So all the women, they got together and they plotted, they schemed as to how we can get our husbands to dig the well, to do what we want them to do. So they decided, we will deprive our husbands of the household bliss. So they all came together secretly. The husbands didn't know about it. So slowly by slowly, each husband started suffering because of, you know, being deprived of the household bliss. And eventually they started discussing with their friends and everybody. And they realized that that was a situation with everybody. Everyone was suffering. And they realized that it was a plot, it was a scheme. And then they went and discussed that, what do you want? And they all unanimously said, we want the well, we want well, we want well. And there was a big hartal. Finally, the men had to comply, and they took this laborious task of digging a well close by wherever they wanted. So the purport of the story is that, you know, nobody is willing to undertake such a laborious task if there is no motivation involved, you see. And Prabhupada is explaining here that the concept that the attraction for the opposite sex is basically the impetus for economic development. It's the fuel which runs this world. Just like, you know, you have petrol which runs a car, or you have a nuclear power which may fuel a ship, or which may fuel a submarine. Similarly, it is the sex drive which fuels the machinery of this material world. you know, the universes, you know, the suns, the planets, they're all in their rotating around in their orbits, fueled by what? Fueled by this sex desire. It is a fundamental basis of this material world. And that is the principle. Here it is explained. Yeah. And therefore, we can see that it is a principle which can be utilized well and it can be abused also. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. So Krishna is saying that dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. He's telling that I am sex life which is not contrary to the religious principles. So Krishna is explaining that this the principle of sex life is a very sacred principle if it is led according to the maryadas of Krishna consciousness. It is a very sacred principle. So therefore, this very sacred principle, if it is used well in Krishna consciousness, it can actually become a cause of deliverance from material bondage and material attachments. If one follows the rules and regulations of the dharma of a householder, yeah, and one great sannyasi, Swami Shivanand, he says that this principle of sex life is only meant for householders. There's no sex life before household life. There's no sex life after procreation of children. After that, it comes to an end. This great sannyasi, he says, this is the religious principle. And the moment we deviate from this principle of dharma, then there is inauspiciousness. Yeah, and we can see in the society that there is so much of abuse of this principle. So much of abuse of this principle. And as a result of that, we can see in the society there are so many such cases of diseases which are being spread because of abuse of this principle. You know, gonorrhea, syphilis, HIV, AIDS, hepatitis, and all these you know, different kinds of very dangerous, lethal diseases are being spread because of abuse of this principle. You know, cancer and all those kind of things is also coming because of use of certain pills in order to, you know, avoid pregnancy and all those kind of things. It's there, it's going on in the society. So we can see so many diseases are coming. We can see that there is so much of mental agony, there's distress in the society. We can see in the story of Yayati that when Yayati was cursed by his father-in-law, Shukracharya, to become old prematurely, he became very restless. He became very disturbed, alarmed actually. And what was the consequence? He wanted to exchange his old age with somebody because he was not satisfied. He became miserable. Now, normally the case would be if something happens like this, an accident takes place, say maybe, you know, we are cursed to become old, what should we do? What is an action? What is the general course of action that a devotee should be taking? Ideally, he should think that, yes, this is my karma. You know, I've been cursed prematurely to become old, so why not just renounce? You know, take up to Krishna consciousness and just dedicate my life to the service of God. He should have actually thought like this. But no, he was burning with the desire. He wanted to enjoy. And therefore, what happened? What was the consequence of that? He became very shameless. He became shameless. And he went to his son. And he told his son that you please exchange your youth. Give it to me and take my old age. What a shameless thing to do in one sense. Is it not? Generally, the father is not supposed to go to the children, you know, for these kinds of favors. But we can see Yayati went to his son to tell that, give me your youth, I have not finished my enjoyment yet, you take my old age. So this is what happens. Yeah, that the consequence of attachment is that we become, we stoop very low and, you know, tend to act very shamelessly. One devotee from US, a senior devotee, I was just speaking with him in my earlier days in Krishna consciousness, and he was telling a very amazing story, a very practical story. He was saying that he had a friend who, you know, was engaging in all kind of illicit activities, and he contracted a very dangerous disease as a result. So he goes to the doctor and he says, "Please, doctor, you give me a cure for this quickly." So doctor said, "Why?" "Because I have a party today and I have to, you know." So doctor looked at his condition and said, How can you even think about going for a party today? You're going to take this disease and going to spread it all around." So he said, "I don't care. You just give me some medicine and I want a cure for it." So this devotee was telling that when a person is attached to sense gratification, he becomes extremely selfish and extremely shameless to go to any extent without any concern for others' welfare. You know, and that's what happens. And in the process, we exploit others and we get ourselves exploited. Recently, there was a Ram Navami festival and Bhakti Charu Maharaj was giving a talk and he was explaining that how Dasharath Maharaj, he had, you know, Kaikeyi and Kaushalya and Sumitra as his wives, but he was very attached to Kaikeyi because she was very attractive and pretty. So as a result of that, it is explained by scholars and, you know, acharyas that was his weakness. And when he was in difficulty, he made a statement to Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi saved him from a difficult predicament because in a war, he was badly wounded and it was Kaikeyi who took him out of the battlefield and protected his life. So at that time, he told Kaikeyi that, "I would like to give you two benedictions. So please ask for benediction." So she says, "I have already received everything. You have given me everything. I don't need it." So he gave an open, opportunity to his wife to ask for anything. And the acharyas explained that was the biggest blunder which Dasharath Maharaj made in his life. To tell the wife, you know, that you can ask anything in this world, unconditional promise, you know, to say something like, "You can ask anything, I will give you," was the greatest mistake of Dasharath Maharaj. As a result, what happened? When the opportunity came, she asked for her son to become the king, enthroned as a king, Bharat Maharaj, King Bharat, and she wanted Ram to be banished into the forest. Is it not? So we can see this principle that, when there is attachment to sense gratification, then immediately there is exploitation. There is exploitation, mutual exploitation involved. There's lack of concern for each other, and there's so much of distress, mental anxieties, because more a person or couples who come together for this principle of enjoying the household bliss, the more emphasis on this principle, and what happens is the consequence is going to be broken relationships, there's going to be mental anxieties, couples are not going to live with each other for long, and that is happening. Practical incident I would like to share. When I was in my 10th standard, I had a friend, my close friend. So he kind of fell in love and all that, So he just couldn't focus on his studies. It was board exams, 10th standard. So his mother used to come and tell me that, just see what my son is doing. Why don't you teach him something? Why don't you tell him something? Let him become serious. Is this the time for all this? So we said, you know, the other friends also were there. We said, you know, what can we do? I mean, he's our friend. He'll not listen to us. Anyway, so then it went on. He was carrying on and he ruined his academics. His 10th standard was ruined and he still kept on. The relationship was going very strong and he was distracted thoroughly. He ruined his 10th standard results. He ruined his 12th standard results. Somehow still his parents are very influential, got him admitted into a good engineering college. And he passed his engineering, that also just, you know, scraping through, even though he was a very intelligent boy. And finally, he got married after 6 years of an affair. And then his uncle was in America and got him a job there in America, and he went along with his wife, and and they got married, and of course, and then another 6 years they spent together. So he comes back after 12 years, after 6 years he comes back, and that time I was Hare Krishna, and so he meets me after a long time, 6 years, and he had never seen me in this, So we met after a long time. Yeah, it was 6 years. So he meets me and he says, "So how are you?" And and we exchange embraces, and the first thing he tells me, is that, "You know what?" I said, "What?" "I am miserable." I said, I mean, that's the first thing he tells me, okay? After 6 years we meet, he's looking at me like this, at least ask me, okay, what is this, all that and everything. Nothing, he's opening his heart and he's telling me, "I am miserable." And I said, "What happened?" And he says, that girl, and I said, "Yeah, I know, because she was also from my society, just opposite. He was living adjacent to me and she was living on the opposite side. So we all knew each other." He says, so I said, "Yeah, I know. She's being very unchaste with me, and I she's having an affair with somebody else, and I caught all the letters on the internet. She's having an affair over the internet." And I didn't even know that at that time, because I was out of touch since quite some time, that people could have an affair through the internet, And I said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." And then I was thinking in my mind that I knew him, I knew her, both of them belonged to a very wonderful, cultured family, and I couldn't believe that such a thing was happening to him. And he says, and he's telling me that I cannot look at her face anymore. And they have a small child, small kid, just, about a few months old. And I was just looking at him, and he was, all the while he just spoke about this, and he said, "Okay," he didn't even ask me, "How are you doing? And, what is this all about?" But still I made a mention that, I'm in Hare Krishna. You see my changed clothes? Yeah, and, we are preaching. The solution for everything is to chant Hare Krishna and all those things. So it is like this. You see, the more we see that we are going away from this principle, the maryada, of how one should live according to religious principles. There are laws which are governing, ashramas, like brahmacharya ashram, grahastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram. There are proper guidelines which govern these ashrams. And the more we abuse these rules, the more it goes against what we want. What we want? We want happiness. We want pleasure. That's right. That's what generally people think, that, the household bliss is a source of great pleasure. But we see in the society just the contrary. What is happening? People are miserable. They're getting diseases. They're having mental anxieties. Relationships are breaking down. So much of suffering in the society. There's crime. There's violence. When relationships break down, there's mental anxiety. The partners go and kill each other, out of frustration. So we see that, that everybody wants happiness, but how to get happiness? How to get pleasure? That is actually what also the shastras are telling us, And the way, the technique, how we should be doing that is according to the scriptures. You know, so the sacred principle is being forgotten. Like, you know, one of our brahmacharis, he was standing down, and some tourists from the west, they came, and they were speaking to him, and they were asking, what is this temple all about, and everything. So he was giving him a guided tour of the temple. So at the end, they were asking, some boys and girls, they were asking, so what is this all about? Why are you wearing this cloth? So he said, this is saffron. We call it saffron. This is brahmacharya. So he says, oh, what does that mean? So he said, that means that no association with the opposite sex. So he said, what is your age? So he said, I am 24. You've had no association till now? So he says, no. And they looked at each other and started giggling. That's odd. That's odd. Like, that's a big apradh. You know, that's a big irreligious principle. You know, it's unheard of. I mean, what is celibacy? And, you know, I mean, no one has heard. But somehow we find that in ISKCON, you know, people, and they do it so easily. It's, and Prabhupada has demonstrated the power of devotional service, that we see that people who are coming from such downtrodden, fallen backgrounds can be elevated to such amazing levels of purity. It's simply astonishing. And therefore, when they see, you know, youths especially, you know, practicing such an exalted, you know, lifestyle, they are blown, actually. You know, they're really blown and astonished, actually. And it's quite unbelievable for people, because they're so far from the ideals that they think it's just not possible for anyone. See? And therefore, as a result, you know, the relationships, you know, because such people who do not follow the rules and regulations and go around, you know, enjoying the household bliss before even entering into household life, they cannot be loyal to their partners, and as a result, there's so much of frustration and all those kind of things. Somebody sent me one message, very, very amazing. You know, one man, he goes to a Kumbh Mela, and he's making a prayer in Kumbh Mela. He's saying, "Hey Bhagawan, Kumbh ke mele mein bhai bhai hi kyun bichhadte hain? Kabhi kabar pati patni par bhi daya kiya karo." You know. You know, so people are like, you know, they come for this principle, you know, for enjoying the household bliss, and that is their main focus. In fact, there was a statistics taken, that what is the motivation for people to come together in a household life, and the score was maximum people come for this household bliss. That is their focus. And because that is the focus, what happens, it does not last. Relationships cannot last, because relationships are based, enduring relationships are based on higher principles. When people come together for certain higher principles, not for sense gratification, it cannot be. It cannot be a durable relationship. It has to break down. Unless there is a cultivation of the quality of sacrifice, tolerance, responsibility, relationships cannot last. And therefore, a pakka lifestyle is required. Training, sadhana, a good association, and all those kind of things. Right? Because that's what Krishna says in the Gita. Yeah? What does he say? He says, Vishendriya samyogat yattadagre amritopamam pariname vishammeva tat sukham rajasam smritam. You know, that sense gratification begins with bliss. Yattadagre amritopamam. It begins bliss. Just simply wonderful, amazing. But then pariname vishameva. It ends with great misery, great distress. Vishendriya samyogat. And what is that? The the contact of the senses with the sense objects, sense gratification basically, culminating in household bliss. Yeah, it is simply a source of misery in the end. Yeah, so that is what you. Yat tadagre vishameva pariname amrutopamam tat sukham sattvikam proktam atmabuddhi prasadajam. Krishna says, but sattvik sukh, what is the material happiness, which is in the mode of goodness, is explaining that when one takes up to practices which may be perceived as misery in the beginning. Like for example, waking up in the morning, chanting Hare Krishna, coming into the association of devotees, giving up, you know, habits like drinking tea and coffee and watching television and, you know, avoiding theaters and parties and restaurants and all those kind of things may be very miserable. It's simply miserable. But then in the end, it's bliss. Krishna says that. Atma buddhi prasadajam, and it awakens one to what? Atma gyan. To one's real knowledge about who we are, the spirit soul, deathless, eternal servant of God. This principle, this knowledge is lost. Avritam jnanametena jnanino nityavairina kamarupena kaunteya dushpurena nalena cha. Krishna explains this in a very amazing way, that what is the eternal enemy of the soul? What is covering the knowledge of the soul that he is the servant of God? What is covering the knowledge of the soul that he is deathless? He says, kamarupena kaunteya dushpurena anilena cha. It is the eternal enemy of the soul. What is that? It is in the form of lust. Kam, selfishness basically. And therefore, that has to be given up. So people think it is a source of pleasure. Sense gratification is a source of pleasure, but it is not. It is a source of misery. It is a source of misery. And that is the purport actually. Yeah. And therefore, we can find that there are various ways of going about it, of how we can sublimate this passion. And therefore it is said that passion is unavoidable. Most of the people, tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobhadasche, that, you know, most of the people in this world are basically in the mode of passion and ignorance. And therefore it is said, the way how we can dovetail this passion is to become instruments in extending the compassion of the pure devotee, of the guru. The guru is compassionate, and the disciples many times may be passionate. And therefore, what the disciple must do is dovetail his passion in passionately trying to extend the compassion of the pure devotee in trying to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And that way he can sublimate, yeah, his lower propensities. Like that. So, I was just reading this wonderful article written by this very great spiritualist, Swami Shivanand. He writes wonderful articles on this concept, and he says, yeah, he says that a great wondrous duty lies within us. Yeah, we should lead pure and exemplary life. We should be loyal to God, to your religion, and to your guru, to your parents, and to your teachers. We can see that. Yeah, that Krishna says that in the Gita. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevati. How can we overcome this formidable enemy? It is a very powerful force. Even Lord Shiva, when Mohini Murti bewildered Lord Shiva, it was through this principle of sex life. Is it not? So the Lord wanted to indicate to the world that this power of material energy is extremely powerful. That it is not possible for us in our own capacities to overcome this great obstacle of sense gratification. And what is the process? The process, it is explained here, loyalty. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevade. Vyabhichar, which means unchaste or disloyal service. So therefore, one being very faithful to Krishna, faithful to Guru, faithful to the parents who are Krishna conscious, If one leads a life, then one can very easily cross over this great insurmountable temptation of this world. It's such a great temptation. Often in our classes we give this example that how such a powerful animal such as an elephant is trapped. It's very difficult to capture an elephant. But how do they capture an elephant? They tie a she-elephant, which is already caught, they tie it up, and the male elephant wandering in the forest looks at the she-elephant and he feels attraction and he feels that I should go and enjoy. And he comes running thinking I'll now enjoy, but he does not see what is in store for him. And there is one large pit which has been dug out for him, which has been covered by grass. He's not able to see it. So he thinks there's enjoyment, but what is kept for him? A big trench. He falls into it and he gets caught. We read in Mahabharata, Pandu, the great king Pandu. Now Pandu, we know that he had Madri, Kunti as his wives. Now we hear the story that when he was going into the forest, he was hunting, and accidentally he shoots his arrow, kills a deer, but that deer happens to be a great rishi, Kindama Rishi. So that rishi curses Pandu, yeah, saying that you have shot me at a very wrong time when I was uniting with my wife. At that time you killed me, which is against dharma. No creature should be attacked while they are in union. So therefore I curse you, just like I am dying now, you will also die when you will unite with your wife. So at that time Pandu takes a vow that I will practice celibacy, I will practice brahmacharya. Even though I have two wonderful, beautiful wives, I will not engage in any sense gratification. So for 12 years he practiced strict brahmacharya. He even begets children. All the Pandavas were begotten. Why? Because he had this curse. He could not unite with his wife. And therefore the gods were called. Vivaswan was called and Ashwini Kumaras were called. Dharma was called and the five sons were begotten. But finally after 12 years, while he was in isolation with Madri, he fell to the temptation. And even though he was remembering, every moment he was remembering that I have got this curse, I should stay away from sense gratification. But he still fell for the temptation, no matter how hard he tried to control, and no matter how hard his wife, Madri, was trying to remind him, don't do it, but still he fell down and he gave up his life. So we can see that this temptation is so strong that even though we know that it is bad, we have to rise above this principle, we may still fall down to this temptation. It is such a powerful principle. It is the energy of the Lord Himself put into this world with a purpose. When the four Kumaras were created, Brahma told the Kumaras that you procreate, let this world go on, create, have children, let this world develop. Kumara said, we are not interested, we want to practice spiritual life. And they get benedictions to remain children always. Because as children, they don't experience desire for sense gratification. The Brahma thought, my purpose of this creation is not being met. The world has been created for what? For this purpose. If everyone becomes renounced, how will the world go on? And therefore, he established this principle in our bodies, in all of us. But Brahma, by his own will, he has put this principle of sense gratification within us. So that we can engage it properly, according to religious principles, the world will go on. We also make advancement in our spiritual life, gradually elevation. When we dovetail our propensities to enjoy our senses according to rules and regulations of Shastra, we can eventually come out of this predicament, material predicament. Yeah. So we can see here that Yayati comes to this principle, to this conclusion, that sense gratification is not giving me pleasure. And therefore his conclusion was, take up to Krishna consciousness. And that is the process. The process is to take up to Krishna consciousness. And therefore he gives very wonderful practical solutions. This Swami Shivanand, very wonderful. He says, you should courageously come forward and set the pace for the youth of today. This is true heroism. This is the real challenge before you. The path is arduous, difficult, toilsome, and full of pitfalls and dangers. Are you prepared to take the plunge? The saints of all religions, both of the past and of recent times, have always spoken about the glory of spiritual life. Yeah, its true meaning is control of the senses. In a limited sense, refraining from sense gratification is very, very, very important. Yeah, the sense of taste has to be controlled by not taking foods that make the mind restless. Onions, garlic, highly spiced dishes, too much sweets and sugar, too much tea and coffee, non-vegetarian foods, all these make the mind restless. Alcohol, drugs and smoking are bad as they cause great harm to the mind and body. The eye must be controlled by seeing only that which is pure and good, like colorful flowers and birds, inspiring pictures of saints and sages, of spiritual heroes and heroines, birds, animals, insects and reptiles, as well as natural scenes like mountains and landscapes, delight the mind and soothe it. Vulgar dances, scenes of violence, love and sex on television, and reading magazines that deal with violence, love and sex pollute the mind and body and awaken base feelings in one. Listening to classical music, devotional songs and chants at satsang and in the temple soothe the mind, elevate it and fill one with love and devotion to God. Listening to disco music, on the other hand, makes one restless and brings base feelings in the mind. Also, strictly avoid drugs, smoking, places of gambling and evil association where abusive words are used. Boys, young boys and girls should avoid using perfumes and other items that go to beautify the physical body. They should dress modestly and not put on such garments as will awaken carnal feelings in the opposite sex. Artificial decoration of the body in this manner will make one think too much of the body, and when one falls ill, the suffering will be greater because of increased bodily consciousness. Remember that the physical body is a sacred abode or temple of God and should be kept pure, strong and healthy. In any case, in time to come, it will be discarded when the soul departs from it. So Prabhupada has wonderfully demonstrated, and he has established such an institution, as we have seen that all these things which he has said in his article, he has practically made this arrangement that if anybody comes into the association of our ISKCON temples, it is very easily possible to overcome the temptations of this world. And Krishna says that, yeah, that the process, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has demonstrated, the process is to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare Gaur.